And hello there, and welcome to another episode of Turn Zero List, brought to you by 6UP Supply. I'm your host, Keegan, and I'm joined this week by Josh, also known as Peregrine, on the Discord for a Republic list. Josh, how are you doing this week?
Given I have to play Republic, I guess I'm okay.
Have to play. Do you just not like winning or something?
I like to make it a challenge, I guess.
Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you for biting the bullet on the Turn Zero team this week and taking the Republic list. Going into this, since it's actually not your main faction, this is actually a great time to ask. When you think about building lists and you think about kind of how do you think about approaching yourself, your skill level, your strengths, and build towards that? What's your process?
So I guess I'm more of a defensive player. So I guess it's interesting that I've never really played Republic much before. I like to sit back and shoot and not have to do a lot of movement. And I'd rather play by knocking out my opponent's army rather than playing the objectives, which makes me a pretty horrible rebel player. So, I would say I'm probably an average player, but mostly defensive by nature.
Okay. How's that going to, when you start looking at your list, and especially a new faction list like Gar, how are you bringing that in to this build?
Well, so I'm actually bringing a list today that I had played somewhat similar with Invader League, and it's an Anakin Skywalker as the focus piece. Surrounded by a lot of phase twos and arcs with situational awareness. Now, when I took it to Invader, I had Padme, but I found that was kind of ultra defensive, and it didn't work out. So today I'm bringing Anakin Skywalker with force push, saber throw, defensive stance, and endurance. I have a clone commander with vigilance. Three phase twos, two of them with Z6s and situational awareness, one with Echo and situational awareness. Then I have one phase one clone trooper with fives, and then five ARC troopers with DC-15s and situational awareness. Kind of the focus on this list is, of course, it is Anakin, but he's supported by a lot of, a lot of beef. And that mainly comes from saber throw and fire support. Now, it is at 9 activations, and that's where situational awareness and vigilance comes in.
Yeah.
Because if you come across, say, you have other arcs on the other side of you or BX strike teams, they can disappear pretty rapidly. Luckily, they only have immune deflect, and they don't have high velocity. And that's kind of the key of the list is once you set up Anakin to get Exemplar and then you have defensive stance, he can just start passing out extra dodge tokens.
Yep.
And hopefully early on, you're able to put a few dodges on either fives or one of the phase twos. Mm-hmm. And so vigilance will keep it on for future rounds as well.
Gotcha. So your primary target for that vigilance is going to be your core troopers, not Anakin then, huh?
I think that's going to be situational. I think in earlier rounds, it's going to be the core troopers, depending on how much positioning I need, whether I can afford to take a dodge or if I need to double move them or not.
Makes sense. So. Cool. Awesome. So you covered pretty much everything you got here. When you were building this list out with that defensive mindset, were you making any specific trades or anything? Anything that really kind of stuck in as a debate to consider?
So I think going between 10 and 9 activations was kind of the biggest toss-up because I could cut Echo's Phase 2 squad. Okay. And go for two naked phase one troopers. And I think that puts me exactly at 800. So I have points to do it right there.
Gotcha.
I think my issue with that is, again, when I played it with Padme, I only had three core troopers with heavy weapons. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't have enough bite, especially against heavy melee lists.
Gotcha.
It just wasn't enough. And so that's why I went with Echo and a phase two here, as opposed to going to 10 activations. If I didn't have saber throw on Anakin and I was, my game plan was to rush Anakin in, I would probably stretch it out and go 10 activations. But again, it's going to play a little bit more defensively than I think most people think Anakin plays.
Sure.
And so that's why I'm sticking with 9 and making sure if something happens to him, I have something to back it up.
Okay. Awesome. Makes sense. All right. So you've got a 9 activation, 800 point list, Clone Commander Anakin, 3 phase 2s, one of them with Echo, phase 1 with 5s, and the triple arc strike team. Going into, let's start talking about the battle deck. What battle cards, objective deployment and conditions, are absolute auto includes for you in this list?
I think key positions, intercept, and sabotage are definitely auto includes, mostly because key positions and sabotage, I would say, definitely are the auto includes because of those I can hold off until later rounds. And I don't have to move out as quickly. Intercept is also nice because it's an every other round thing. I don't have to be mobile right away.
Okay.
The last card is kind of difficult for me for the objective. I have hostage exchange in there, mostly because I have courage 2 troopers. And I can use Exemplar with Anakin to use a standby to get them to move an extra.
Sure.
Then again, if something happens, I really have to have Anakin move in there and grab that hostage. And I don't necessarily like doing that. But I think it's better. It's obviously better than bombing run, breakthrough, recover, and payload. So it's in there as my last resort.
Makes sense. Makes sense. All right. Conditions?
Yeah, as far as conditions go, I think War Weary is one of the auto includes, given my entire army all has Courage 2. Clear conditions is just kind of a wash. I have supply drop in there. I'm not sure if that's necessary to have, mostly because, again, I'm not very mobile. I can have Anakin going in there and grabbing stuff.
Yeah.
But I am burning activations to move or burning actions to move and pick up things. It's not like I have a extra naked rebel trooper to go pick up something for me. And then I have fortified positions. I think, like I said, this is a little bit of a defensive list, and just having heavy cover all around is something I'm looking forward to.
Cool. Makes sense. And deployments. What are the auto includes? What are the no way in hells?
So, this doesn't have R2 in it, so there's no way I'm putting battle lines or danger close in or even disarray.
Okay.
This isn't a traditional Rex list, so I don't have anything extra to push me to range 4, so I'm taking out Long March as well.
Okay, makes sense.
I think advanced positions is really the only auto include here. Hemmed in, while I do have it, it, depending on the map, it really can put me on a bad spot. So that's kind of either a grand slam or a strikeout. So I want to roll the dice on that. So that's why I've hemmed in. Major offensive and rollout, I think those are pretty neutral objectives as well. Even if I am going up against armor, I do have saber throw and fire support and a lot of arc strike teams. So I'm not too concerned about having, say, let's say double AAT on the other side of me. So that's why rollout makes the cut.
Cool. Makes sense. That sounded, a lot of times we talk about like what are the best deployments or battle cards for the deck. I think that almost was a process of elimination on what you didn't want. I think we got down to the 4 you included by finding 4 you definitely didn't want. That was that's a fun time, fun when that can happen.
Yeah, well, I'm also at 800 points too, right. So I'm going to be at the mercy of whoever else I'm playing.
Absolutely. Cool. So you've got this defensive Anakin list. You've got your, you're hoping for occasional blue list, but you're ready for, blue player, but you're ready for red player. Walking up to your first table at a tournament, what do you see across the table that brings you joy?
A lot of terrain for one. And I would say actually other gun lines.
Okay.
Or single armor armies.
Okay.
Anakin with saber throw can really tear through some of those.
Yep.
And I like anything that's gonna, especially gun lines, because they're going to have a lot of I don't want to say mediocre, but a lot of good units, but not too many of them. And so that's why, outside of a droid gun line, I think I'll be okay.
Gotcha. Speaking of droid gun line, is that the, excuse me, is that the worst thing that you can see across the table, or does something else bring you dread?
Speeders.
Speeders.
Anything that's playing speeders is going to be really difficult because they can pop in and pop out, and it's going to be really hard for me to close the range. Highly mobile, such as a lot of infiltrate that's going to go for box grabs, I don't really want to see either because I have no scouting party here. So, anything that's really mobile can actually be difficult for me here.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Well, there we have it. We've got a great 9 activation, 800 point list. Looking defensive, Anakin. Love to see Anakin getting some more play out there because I screwed around with him and I really do like his style. Haven't won much with him, but I really like his style.
Neither have I.
Yeah. Cool. You ready for the lightning round?
Let's do it.
All right. 13 act droids, new Rekstar or bigger fad than Mbop?
So actually before Invader League started, I thought AA Team Maul was the best droid list. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's more Mbop. Yep. Rekstar is probably the most terrifying thing we've seen today.
I think, like I said in another recording, I wrote these questions last week before a weekend of Invader League single eliminations really made this a skewed question. So, all right, what's the best prize support you've ever gotten from a tournament?
Legion wise, so I actually started going to tournaments right before the pandemic hit. So okay. It was, I guess, the one RPQ I went. I got some pretty cool Op Luke and Vader acrylics.
Cool.
And so, yeah, I'd say that's the best one I've gotten so far.
Awesome. We just saw Yoda. All other factions should just pack it in, or he's only going to be for those high-skill players that play Palp?
So part of the reason I built this list in particular is kind of a stepping stone to get to Yoda. I just need to get cool. I just need to cut down some points, probably Echo.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like Palpatine. High-skill players are going to be really dominant with him. Mm-hmm. It's not someone for everyone to play. It's why we don't see Operative Luke, Dooku, or Palpatine dominating tables, is because there is a high skill cap with them.
Yeah.
We also need to see his command cards, though, but just seeing the unit card, he looks pretty good.
Cool. Biggest mistake in a game of Legion that still haunts you to this day?
Actually, it was in the only RPQ I played. I had been testing a lot, except I never tested against Sabine or Tauntauns.
Okay.
And the cards came up and I said, hey, Battle Lines is pretty neutral. Let's play Battle Lines. I didn't realize what a mistake that was to have Sabine and Tauntauns on the other side of Battle Lines. Yeah, that was probably my biggest mistake. It was my only loss for the day.
That feels like a mistake that you learned from, though.
Yeah, I did it again a couple weeks later, and it really solidified.
There you go. Nice. All right. We talked about Yoda already, but what was the most exciting thing that AMG revealed in their mini extravaganza this last weekend?
So we've already talked about Yoda, so I'm not going to go over that again. But I actually think the one thing that they revealed was their willingness to do this frequently and get on streams and do this.
Yeah.
And not go the route of articles. That way they're able to release minis like this. And I think that was actually the most exciting thing, was how much content is being revealed so frequently. It's not as much at one time, but we have less gaps in between. So I think it keeps the excitement up.
Awesome. I love that too. And finally, what drink do you passive aggressively buy an opponent after you just dunked on them at a tournament?
After I dunked on them?
Yeah. You're the big winner and you're making a show of being nice and buying them a drink, but it's really just a passive aggressive dunk.
I only buy for winners, so the guy who beats me gets the drink.
Oh, if anyone listens to the Nick episode of this, we could not have two more polar opposites. Awesome. Well, thank you, Josh. Such a cool list. For our listeners, come back each week for another episode and a unique look into a build. Join us at the end of the month for our video episode featuring some great head-to-head turn zeros on all of our lists. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, man.